Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello, and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on June 5th, 2020, from my office in Columbia. And just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. In this episode, we continue to look at hurricane preparedness and the challenges posed by COVID-19. Senator Tim Scott talks about George Floyd and President Donald Trump's crisis time leadership. We have new unemployment numbers and an update from DHEC amid rising case numbers. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail with your name and where you're calling from at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us a message at 803-563-7169. We'd love to hear from you. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 538 deaths, and currently there are 13,453 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of June 5th at 4 p.m. 482 South Carolinians are in the hospital due to COVID-19, and here's some sad news. We hit a new daily case record on Friday with 447 new cases being announced. Of those, 77 cases were in Greenville County, which continues to see huge daily increases and has become the epicenter in the state, with 1,934 cases and 59 deaths. That's the second highest death rate in the state behind Richland County. Last week, we hit a high record of cases, but this week, we've had multiple days of 300 and 400 plus new cases. So please do not let your guard up. Remember, social distancing, wear a mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet away from people. Just because you can go out to eat doesn't mean things aren't back to normal, guys. And just so you know, there are more than 120 mobile testing clinics around the state. These are free. You can drive through. You don't have to have a doctor's excuse. If you feel like you have COVID-19 or you want to get tested, check out the free mobile testing clinics around the state. Again, there's more than 120 of them, and you can find them and more information about all things COVID-19 at accelerate.sc.gov. We are barely a week into hurricane season, and we're already breaking records with a third storm that has formed, something that doesn't happen usually until August. Emergency management and other state officials joined Governor Henry McMaster at a press briefing Thursday as the state continued its awareness efforts during Hurricane Preparedness Week. Here is State Emergency Management Division Director Kim Stenson.
We would like to emphasize that the entire state is susceptible to the effects of a hurricane, not just coastal counties. What we've seen in the past few years is a significant amount of flooding, resulting not just from near misses from hurricanes, but also from other major storm systems that have come near or into South Carolina. Anywhere in South Carolina is prone to flooding, and certainly flash flooding. If you live in a flood-prone area, make sure you have flood insurance. If there's a flood warning issued, make sure you have someplace to go so you don't get trapped by floodwaters. And then never, and I cannot stress this enough, never try to drive through flooded areas or move barricades. Avoid flooded areas at all costs.
You might remember from Tut Underwood's recent reporting about our new phrase emergency management officials are urging people to remember this year. Time, space, people, place. Stenson tells us what this means.
For time, give yourself enough time to prepare for a hurricane. Space, make social distancing a part of your every aspect of your hurricane planning. People, make sure all the people in your family know your hurricane plan and make sure that they too know what to do to stay healthy. And then place, know where you will go once the evacuation order is issued for the area. Staying in a hotel or friends or family out of town are excellent options to protect yourself during and after the storm.
The COVID-19 pandemic is also changing how shelters will operate. Department of Social Services Director Michael Leach provides this update on what shelters will look like in the future with reduced occupancy and temperature checks.
For just sheltering the population, we know we have to allocate almost 3 times the space per individual. So going from 40 square feet to 100 square feet per person, which includes cots, in order to maintain social distance and mitigate virus spread. So we're looking at about a third of the capacity within each shelter. We've implemented changes, screening questionnaire and temporal check by the Red Cross staff to match CDC, DHEC, and Red Cross guidance on health screening to help mitigate risk of exposure in a shelter for both staff and clients. For PPE, Red Cross will have some PPE on hand, and EMD plans to pre-order PPE in case needed for congregate shelters, and DSS will help facilitate getting those PPE to the pre-planned shelter locations. Feeding operations and shelters can no longer be congregate feeding in cafeterias like before, and now we'll be boxing up individual meals for safety. So feeding entities will assist with this, including the Red Cross. We are also identifying areas in every shelter where to conduct screenings with our partners, as well as maintaining social distancing and provide options for those high risk, possibly exposed or positive for COVID-19. If COVID positive or elevated body temperatures, we'll be isolating away from the general population in a pre-designated area until they can be transferred to a non-congregate care setting through a DHEC triage line.
Governor McMaster speaks about just how challenging of a year we've had so far and how a hurricane will only amplify matters. Some of the changes we might experience if we have a hurricane include earlier evacuation orders, especially when it comes to moving people out of medical facilities.
It will be a heavy hurricane year. We've already seen a record number of tornadoes and a record number of strong tornadoes in South Carolina. We've already been wrestling with the pandemic, coronavirus, since March. Now we're entering hurricane season, and it's forecast that this will be above average in the number and strength of hurricanes. And then recently, as a result of the events in Minnesota and prior events with the death of tragic, unforgivable death of George Floyd, we are experiencing protests, which we welcome, but also experiencing violence, which we do not. Our National Guard is always ranked at the top in the United States for readiness, and they've demonstrated that yet again, General McCarty, with troops in Afghanistan, and also, I think, about 500 involved in the COVID response, and now hundreds on standby in South Carolina to assist as necessary with law enforcement measures. And then again, just 2 days ago, asked by the Pentagon to go to Washington, and we are there at the strength that they asked in probably record time. So this is a challenging time for us, but we must be ready for these hurricanes.
Now, be your own emergency manager. Have a plan ready, have a go bag, and make sure your supplies and equipment are up to date. SCEMD.org has everything you need, including the 2020 Hurricane Guide, to get through hurricane season. Moving on This Week in South Carolina, I spoke with Senator Tim Scott about the George Floyd protests, what needs to be done to move the country forward at this difficult crossroads as we face economic calamity, social disruption, and civil unrest. I start off by asking Senator Scott about how he reacted to the video of George Floyd dying while handcuffed in police custody as a white officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes.
I was sick to my stomach. I could not believe that I was once again watching the death of an African-American male at the hand of a law enforcement officer. Unfortunately, my first images was just thinking back of Walter Scott running away from the law enforcement officer that ultimately shot him 5 times in the back, and how little we believed the situation until we saw the situation, and how often we are confronted with the fact that while the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers are good people doing their jobs, wanting to go home to their families, there's just too many incidents that suggest and reinforces the narrative that have played out for the last 4+ decades of my life, that there seems to be more aggression and frankly more violence against African Americans in that, that exchange. Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about little has been done, except without the evidence of video, what does that say about where we are? And that maybe that a black man's word is not worth as much as someone else's word, unless there's video to back it up and to say, hey, no, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just out for a run, for example.
Well, you obviously talk about Mr. Arbery. That is pretty clear that he was just jogging down the street at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Two guys in a pickup truck shot him dead. And 6 weeks later, we didn't know about it because the facts were they had a video, but the video was kept private, it seems. And the murderer was a former police officer who worked for the DA, and the relationship seemed to play a very significant role in that situation. I'd also say that the situation in the New York City Park is really important for us to look at. They call her Central Park Karen, or whatever they call her. Having the instinct that she could call the police and simply say that an African-American man was threatening her life gave her the kind of power and authority that makes most black men shudder and shake, because they know that when the law enforcement officer shows up in that situation, a binary choice, he is going to be in danger and she is not.
Mm-hmm. How does that change then? How do we fundamentally change those kinds of situations? Because that's what it seems like is really at the root of a lot of these situations. It's just a white person's word against a black person's word, and it seems like the white person's word still has more weight.
Well, the answer is it does, and unfortunately, that's the case in the vast majority of the time, especially with the where it matters the most, in justice. And so, I think the short answer is we have to have more people talking about this issue at the highest levels. We have to have better training for our law enforcement officers at the highest level. We actually need not more legislation, though that might be helpful, but the real thing we need is to investigate the heart. And the only way you do that is one person at a time. And frankly, the way that we get there is for both sides of the debate to understand their power or the lack thereof in the interactions, and that takes a long-term strategy, not a meeting or two, not a lunch or two, not just well-wishing, but literally making it a commitment to walk in someone else's footsteps for several months so that you can have an appreciation for their worldview. That requires black folks to do that with cops, for law enforcement officers to do that with black folks, for people of good conscience to do it with each other, especially with people who don't look like them.
Mm-hmm. And with switching to the federal response and looking at the president, do you feel like the president is doing enough to quell the situation in America? Do you think he's helping bring people together? Or what kind of suggestions do you have for the president at this point in time?
Well, I have always had the good fortune of talking to the president personally and directly, and so I give him my advice and don't have to necessarily do it in an interview. What I have told the president is that it's really important for him to speak out on behalf of George Floyd and George Floyd's family. I like when he starts tweeting about justice for the Floyd family, justice for George Floyd. I appreciate his questions about the three officers that have been recently arrested. Before they were arrested, he was telling me that those three need to be held accountable, just like the person who had the knee on the neck. So the president's response, I think, continues to evolve, and I think for the most part, it evolves in the right direction.
And he has used some divisive language, which you've taken some umbrage to. And he's also, they had to clear out peaceful protesters in Lafayette Square the other day. I'm just wondering, do you think that's the right message to be sending to do a photo op at this point? We've also even heard from former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis about just his real big concerns about the president leading the country at this point.
Yeah, I take the president at his word when he said that he had no idea what they did in order to create the path for him to walk across. I think he was being sincere with that information. So his goal, his desire to bring the country together is one of the things I've emphasized as well, and I hope he continues along that path.
You can watch the full episode of This Week in South Carolina on SCETV, Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and online at scetv.org/TWISC. In our economics section, the Department of Employment and Workforce reports more declining unemployment insurance claims, with nearly 19,000 South Carolinians filing for the week ending May 30th. This brings the initial claims total to 559,531 since mid-March. Now, if you've returned to work, all you need to do to stop receiving benefits is to stop certifying your claim. Once you stop certifying for 14 days, your claim will become inactive. At the national level, U.S. unemployment numbers for May were forecasted to be 20%, but were actually only 13.3%, which is down from April's record of 14.7%. And jobs are being added to the tune of 2.5 million in May. Though remember, we lost 20.5 million jobs in April. So a lot of numbers right there. Big takeaway is U.S. May unemployment was lower than expected at 13.3%. That's down from April as well. And jobs are slowly returning. And now for an update on our medical section. DHEC public health officials continue to stress to South Carolinians the need to remain vigilant and hunker down as COVID-19 case numbers continue to rise in the state. Remember, last week we saw the most cases ever, though weekly death rates continue to decline. I was on a conference call with DHEC officials, including Public Health Director Dr. Joan Dewey, who addressed a question about the risk associated with recent protests.
As far as I know, we have no known cases that were related to any protests. What I can say in terms of expectations is that anytime we have groups of people gathering, not practicing social distancing and not wearing masks, we can expect to see cases resulting from those encounters. I can't give you a sense for how many cases that would be, but we are seeing some increased case counts. And we do think that although we are doing more testing, we do think that some of those increased case counts represent a true increase, and likely because we have seen a lot more sort of congregating and not maintaining social distancing, not masking.
Dewey said that household-based transmission has driven a lot of the new cases.
So you're right. The percent positives, we have seen them kind of bouncing all over the place, but they are trending upwards, especially over the past 14 days. And one of the things we know about this disease is that if it gains a foothold in a community, as we start to see more positive individuals who test positive, we will see more case spread. That's why at this point, it's really critical that we all just hunker down and, you know, maintain that social distancing, stay home if we're able, wear a mask. These things are really critically important to winning, to you know, putting an end to the ongoing transmission that we are seeing in some of our communities.
She also gave insight on her interaction with the governor about climbing case numbers.
I also said to the governor that we, you know, are seeing an increase in the number of cases that are being reported to us. And I said, you know, we've also seen a lot of people out, you know, not maintaining social distancing and not masking. And the governor agreed that we all need to be, you know, really thinking about how to take care of each other here and how to do our part to limit the spread.
The governor gave this response when asked Thursday if he would close portions of the state again if numbers continue to climb.
The main restriction there is to emphasize to people that they must be careful. Well, you cannot lock down an economy forever. Just can't do it because it would disintegrate and then it'd be hard to revive. So there is some point at which all over the country, things are going to have to open up. But if people would use their head, if they would follow the advice that's been given to them repeatedly, we would not be having the instances, the hot spots, or the rise that we see here and there. Now, those numbers go up and down, as you'll see if you look back over the numbers. But we want to see them going down.
Now, while we had some good economic news, our medical outlook is looking worrisome, as you can hear. This is the difficult balance we will be facing for some time, which is why you still need to maintain your distance from people, only socialize in small groups, wear face masks when you go out, and wash your hands frequently. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Have you been protesting? How do you juggle your concerns with COVID-19 and going out? Maybe it's to eat, maybe it's to see friends, or maybe it is for protesting. Or are you over all of this, even though it's still going on? Tell us at 803-563-7169. This is our new reality. It's our life now. We're dealing with it day by day. So leave us a message at 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any new voicemails?
We do. We have a backlog that we have from pre-protests or everything. So everyone just remember, they're not mentioning it because it is from before.
And we apologize. We apologize for not getting to those sooner, but things change.
That's
people,
on us.
Things change. People change.
That's just how it is, okay?
But sorry, we will get folks to them. So let's hear what we got.
Roll tape.
Hi, this is Rose calling from Greenville County. We are blessed to still have a job and able to work remote, and I've been doing so since the governor closed the schools in March. Also, schooling our kids at home. That's also been a blessing to have a little bit more of a day-to-day interaction with them, although sometimes can be trying, as I'm sure it is for other families. We are doing a lot of reading aloud together. We're halfway through the Harry Potter series. And been watching a lot of movies. We did take up your recommendation and watch the extended version of the Lord of the Rings trilogy as well as The Hobbit and introduced them to that. It was great fun. Additionally, I am a Girl Scout leader, and Girl Scouts has not canceled, so we're working hard to keep our girls engaged and offering them experiences as we can when we can't get together, continuing to work on badge work and do some education with them about, you know, the outdoors and what they're observing in their world, and trying to help them manage the anxiety. Appreciate your effort in keeping us informed of what's going on in South Carolina, and we'd love to learn about how school districts around the state are planning and thinking about what they're going to be doing this fall. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Thanks for calling, Rose. I commend you for all that good work you're doing, especially being a Girl Scout troop leader on top of all that. A lot going on there. Again, thanks. Thanks for the kind words as well.
I also want to commend you on watching the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition with your children. You got to teach the children right. You got to teach them young. You got to teach them early.
Okay.
But it's
okay.
Important. It's important.
Okay. God, Jesus.
And Gavin, you have news, right?
We have news. We also have some other news in a moment, too. But I want everyone to know that we are having a Zoom happy hour. You've probably had one of these before since we've been, you know, quarantining for so long. But we are having a lead Zoom happy hour next Thursday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, June 11th, 6:30 p.m. Put it on your calendar now. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have some of your old favorite guests on, some top political reporters in the state. We're going to have you on there. We're just going to be talking about really, you know, we'll have the primaries have just finished next Tuesday. So we'll be recapping the primaries, and we'll just be talking about several other political stories of the day.
We're also going to let our hair down a little
bit,
right?
Grab your favorite mustache hair. Grab your favorite drink, you know, because we're going to be sipping on something good stuff. So it's going to be fun. We want to hear from you, bring questions. It's going to be very informal. We'll hear from some reporters about what they're working on, and then hear your questions, too, about what's going on. So, again, RSVP online. We have an Eventbrite, so you can just sign up there, and we'll send you a Zoom invitation. Hopefully no one will Zoom bomb us, but who knows?
Honestly, I hope we do get Zoom bombed, okay? I'm putting it out there. I want it.
But join us. We have the link on scetv.org/SCLEDE.
And then, Gavin, you also have some adult good news.
Adult good news. Wow!
Wow, now, now, now!
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, how when you get older, things that you didn't care about when you were younger become really cool.
Not even like don't care about it. You actively
know
it
existed,
are like,
right?
You're so lame. Yeah. But so it's great news
for,
now.
For me, it was, and maybe it was for you out there too, my adult good news is when I got my recent car insurance payment. I pay like, you know, twice a year. and I pay in June, and then they send me, my invoice that says, oh, we got that discount from, not having to drive as much, right, because of the COVID. So I saved $60. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting to see.
Absolute adult good news.
But
right
this,
there.
Unfortunately, because since we're state employees, we have to take the state driving test. So that was always a good benefit for our car insurance, saved us some money. But that lapsed this year. So that's some adult bad news for me. So it's kind of a wash on the payment, but still good to see Geico giving me that extra money off.
Thank you so much.
Thank
that
you.
That really made my adult day.
Thank you, corporate overlords.
Yes, thank you so much. If you guys have adult good news,
share your
call
adult
in and
good
let us
news.
Know.
Yeah, I want to hear what you found. Did you get a good coupon? Did you get a 2-for-1? Did someone forget to scan the case of water under your buggy at the Publix?
Like, did you get to a restaurant so early it was still early bird? Who knows? Like, where are you saving this money? I don't know.
Did you get a good parking spot?
Yeah. Oh, a good parking spot is amazing.
Tell us about your good parking spot.
Did you win an argument with your spouse? Who knows? I mean, these are all adult good newses.
Do you have some adult good news?
I have some adult good news, my beans from last episode.
Yeah,
my baked
a good
beans.
Bean follow.
Yeah. Bean update alert. They are better the day after. So they just kept getting better. That was nice.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
I still have a metric ton of them. I think they're denser than rock. And weigh like the same amount as a cinder block or something. So,
it also doubles as a building material is what you're saying.
My God, this is
important
yeah,
for hurricane
it's terrible.
Season.
You could make a hut out of this stuff. It's
a very well seasoned hut, very tasty hut.
Yeah,
the Tasty Hut by A.T. Shire.
You're welcome, folks.
Also, yeah, just a reminder. Yeah, we have primaries next Tuesday, June 9th. So, get out and vote. And again, thank you for tuning into the pod. We could not do this without you. We hear so much great feedback from you guys, and we're going to continue doing 3 shows a week until the foreseeable future. So keep us updated. Let us know what's going on in your world, and we'll do the same. And be sure to follow your local newspapers. They're out there doing great work for everyone in the state and keeping everyone informed during so many challenging situations that we find our state in right now. And when you get your fill of the news, take a break, walk away from it, go for a walk, call some old friends. That's what you gotta do to take a deep breath. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week and as we continue to go through this pandemic together. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I'm very nervous. I hate to read,